Right, we are in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 18. We'll read from verse 18 to 23. Luke 18, verse 18 to 23. That's page 877. Luke chapter 18, verse 18. And the ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother." And all he said, "All these I have kept from my youth." Jesus heard this. He said to him, "One thing you still lack. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." But when he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. Let me stop there, and then Luke chapter 19, verse 1. Luke 19, verse 1 to 9. He entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone or anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham." All right, let me end there. So our theme, basically this morning, is to contrast between the proud and the humble. Two rich men, the rich ruler and the rich Zacchaeus. That will be our focus this morning. Now, we know that the Bible is the unfolding drama of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we look at the different books of the Bible, you can be able to place them and what kind of message they have. So when you come to the book of Luke, you know that it comes in that section of the Bible where we have the Gospels. And what are the Gospels about? Well, the Gospels are about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this book of Luke, whatever passage you turn to, you will find something to do with the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, in there. And you know the salvation of mankind depends on the Lord Jesus Christ. The salvation of mankind depends on him and him alone. And so when you look at the biblical Israel rejecting Christ, you find the entry of the Gentiles comes in into the kingdom, you know, of God. The book is addressed to Theophilus, a Gentile, a very respected, you know, man. And the book has a lot to do with the forgiveness of sin in the Lord Jesus Christ. I think if you turn to Luke chapter 24, I think we need to read this. Luke chapter 24 and verse 47. Luke 24 and verse 47. It says, "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Beginning at Jerusalem. That message of forgiveness of sin has to be only in the Lord Jesus Christ, has only to be preached, you know, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, for us to understand Zacchaeus and the rich ruler, let's first of all just have an idea of how the Lord has arranged these verses here. You know, in Luke chapter 18, there is a very deliberate arrangement of these verses. And I remember a man called Michael Rater from Center of Biblical Preaching in Melbourne has given this phrase that the smaller you are, the closer you get to Christ. And it's amazing how the Lord arranged the, you know, these stories here. When you look at the Pharisee and the tax collector, let's turn back to chapter 18. The parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, where, you know, the tax collector sort of behaves big. You know, he makes himself very, very big. Whereas, you know, the Pharisee makes himself big and the tax collector makes himself very small. So the Pharisee, in his playing big, he trusted in himself. He was self-righteous. He was religious. He exalted himself. That's what you read in those, you know, verses, you know, verses from verse 9, the Pharisee and the tax collector. Whereas the tax collector comes, he says, I don't have anything. He made himself small. He did not trust even himself. He only trusted in God's mercy. He knew that he was a sinner. And he admitted that he was a sinner. He was not self-righteous. He was not religious. He was a humble man. And so, the smaller he was, the closer he came, you know, to the Lord. Because he made himself, you know, small. And he was accepted. And the Lord uses the other story of the children. You know, children display a simple faith and dependence on others. They display a humility. You see that, you know, in verse 17. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter the kingdom of God. Again there you find it's the issue of being smaller that is when you are getting closer, you know, to the Lord. You come to the rich ruler, you know, he played very, very big, religious and a wise man, as it were. He needed to become small if he was going to come to know the Lord. You have the story of the blind beggar who made himself small. You have Zacchaeus, you know, who played small. And so we want to contrast these two, especially to see this. So the arrangements in Luke chapter 18 is very deliberate. Without humility, you cannot come to know the Lord. You've got to make yourself small. If you make yourself big and proud, you'll not know the Lord at all. And so you have this Luke 18 about the rich young ruler. The Bible tells us that he was religious. He kept the commandments that related to other people. You know the commandments that are being referred to? They are to do with the other people. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not do this. But he had a big problem with the first four commandments. If you turn with me to Exodus and chapter 20. In Exodus and chapter 20, we have these commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image. You shall not take the name of the Lord in vain. Now you see what's happening there. These commandments are to do with the Almighty God. How you relate to the Almighty God. Not so much to do with relating to other people when you come, you know, to the fifth and sixth and seventh commandments. And so this person, this ruler, concentrated on the second tablet, but not on the first tablet, as it were. When he was told, you lack one thing, you go and sell all that you have. The Lord, his God, was not in the first place in his life. You know, God was not the one who was on the seat in his life. Yes, he can give to the poor. You know, he doesn't need to steal. He doesn't need to commit adultery, as it were. But when it comes to who is first in your life, there was a problem with this man. He did not have God, you know, at his heart. You know, the Lord says, my son, give me your heart. And this man had not given his heart, you know, to the Lord. He was a proud man. He could not humble himself before Christ. He could not believe, you know, Christ's words. When the Lord Jesus Christ said, go and do this and come to me, he didn't believe those words. And if you don't believe Christ's words, then you cannot belong to him. It is tantamount not believing in God's word, because Christ is God. And you know, this is the last time that you hear about this man. He perished. He perished. When you look at Zacchaeus, he was equally rich. There are two rich people here. Zacchaeus was not religious. He was rich, yes. He was publicly known as a sinner because he was a tax collector. He collected more taxes from the people than the colonial masters wanted. He admitted he did that. But you know, there's something about Zacchaeus. He did everything he could do to be able to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 19, verse 2. Zacchaeus, this chief tax collector, who was rich, he sought to see who Jesus was. He determined, he did everything he could to make sure that he sees the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a desire that came from his heart, which was amazing. And the Lord welcomed him, even as a sinner. He said, I'm going to be your visitor today. And the other said, what? Jesus is mixing with sinners? Look at 19 verse 6. We find, you know, that Zacchaeus received the Lord Jesus Christ joyfully. He received him joyfully. Verse 8, Zacchaeus was able to confess his sin. He was able to confess his sin. That is Zacchaeus, which is very different from the young rich ruler. And the Lord Jesus Christ says he came to save sinners. Verse 9. Today salvation has come to the house because he is also the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The smaller you are, the closer you get to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is when you humble yourself like Zacchaeus. He didn't mind the riches that he had. He was able still to come, you know, to the Lord. But he had to humble himself. He had to humble himself, climbing a tree, making sure that he gets to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that determination, the Lord said, I will not cast you out. Well, riches can be idols to some people, like the rich young ruler. But it doesn't mean that rich people cannot be saved. You've got a rich Zacchaeus here who humbled himself. He confessed his sin. He repented. And the Lord, you know, welcomed him. Are you proud of your sinful state? Then you'll not make it, you know, to come to the Lord. We have to humble ourselves that we are born sinners. We cannot do anything about changing ourselves in terms of our sin. We have to go to the Lord and ask Him to change us. You know, it is by grace that you are saved, not through anything that you can do. And that humility is needed for us to come, you know, to the Lord and get to know Him. I'd like you to turn with me to Philippians and chapter 2. Philippians 2 and verse 5. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant, coming in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name." When you look at the stories in the book of Luke, chapter 18 and part of 19, I don't know whether you have ever seen that what the Lord is trying to tell the people here is that unless you are as humble as I am, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. You know, the perfect humility is found not in Zacchaeus. The perfect humility is found in our Lord Jesus Christ. And the one who could be, as it were, killed by the people that he made. The one who would die the criminal's death when he's not a criminal. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is the perfect example. A man who never sinned, and yet he was crucified. That is the humility that we have in the scriptures. And so when the Lord is telling these stories, the Pharisee and the tax collector, the point is not so much about those two people. The point is about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's trying to point people to himself, that you must be as humble as I am. When he talks to the rich ruler, he is trying to tell him that you have in front of you an example of a perfect, humble man. And what are you doing? Are you going to come to him or not? When he comes to Zacchaeus, it is the same thing. These stories are arranged in such a way that people may be drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ and not to these characters who are here, but rather that they may see the example of humility in front of them. And if they can be that humble and come to the Lord, then he's going to serve and serve to the uttermost. And so the book of Luke has a lot to do with the forgiveness of sin is in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. There are big names in the world. They've come and have gone. None of them can save us. It is only the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." You know, the world wants us to believe that just like there are many ways of climbing a mountain, there are many ways of going to heaven. No, there is only one way. Unless you repent, you will perish. That is, these words are from the Lord himself. He says, unless you repent, you are going to perish. You know, when you look at the different disasters in the world, there was the tsunami, there are, you know, the earthquakes, there are the aeroplane crashes. There are so many things that naturally happen, and innocent people die. Are they more sinners than we are? The Lord Jesus Christ says no. But he adds the phrase, unless you repent, you will likewise perish. So if I were to invite you here to come and give your testimony today, how did you come to know the Lord? You know, when did you come to know the Lord? You know, are you able to testify what the Lord has done for you? You know, there must become a time when the Lord has changed us. Do you have a testimony to share? Or are you still sticking to your pride that, you know, even if I go to hell, it doesn't mean I will not be the only one and things. You're still showing your pride, as it were. You need to be humble. You need to be humble. There are many of us here who have heard so many sermons in this church, and the Lord has challenged us, and we still continue in our sin. We've not repented. What is it? Pride. The Lord Jesus Christ is the perfect example of humility, and therefore it is to him that we should run. And so I hope none of us from here, you know, we'll go away without sorting out things, maybe with our church leaders here, if we have a question to do with salvation. A contrast between the proud and the humble, the rich ruler and the rich Zacchaeus. Let's just pray briefly. Lord, we pray that each one of us may examine our hearts and know where we stand before the Lord, because we are all going to be answerable to him on our own. So visit us with your grace, we pray, in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. We sing our next hymn. Would you be free from the power, the burden of sin?
Well, as we come around this table of remembrance, we turn to that familiar passage that Paul wrote in his first letter to the Corinthians, and we're going to consider just for a few moments some of the verses that he wrote. In verse 27 he says, "Whoever, therefore, eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine themselves, then, and so eat. Eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." Andrew's just reminded us that we need to repent, that we need a testimony of what Jesus has done in our lives. If you don't have one of those, if you haven't repented, please do not partake of these elements this morning. They aren't for you. You need to consider the message that we've just heard. You need to examine yourselves to see where you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. The question you need to ask is, if I die now, where will I spend eternity? And if you're not certain by knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, this is not for you this morning. That's not to say it'll never be for you, because you need to examine yourselves. You need to discern where you are, where you stand before Jesus Christ. Don't be like that rich young ruler we've just heard about who went away sad. Be like Zacchaeus and rejoice in meeting Jesus face to face. And we can still do that today. Spiritually, we can meet with him face to face. So examine ourselves as we take, or before we take, of these elements. Then we go on to read. Paul said, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Barry's going to give thanks for the bread in a few moments. And as we receive the bread, we'll hold on to it. But we do this in remembrance of him. This is often as we do this. We don't have a timetable whereby we must take these elements at a certain time in the month, at a certain time in the week, at a certain time of day. It's as often as we do this, we remember the Lord's death. So thank you, Barry. Let's give thanks for the loaf.
We come again, our great Almighty Lord God, as a family, into the presence of our Heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord God, for this gentle command before us, "This do in remembrance of me." So we do as we're told. We remember our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, Lord God, the first time you came, Heavenly Father, when you sent your Son the first time. We did not invite him. He came uninvited. He came because he knew we need to be rescued, and he was the only one who could rescue us. But when he started his ministry, the invitations flowed thick and fast, but they were all from him to us. "Come unto me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And there's so many more. And Lord God, we are so privileged that the one great invitation is to come to this table. And because our Saviour is the Christ, the Messiah, he is also omnipresent. So when we come to this table, waiting here for us is our Saviour himself. We believe in faith, Lord God, that he is here with us. And we know, Lord God, that when we partake of the bread, that will remind us again of what he's done for us, that he is here with us. And one day we'll be invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb, enter heaven itself, and sing that new song, Worthy is the Lamb. How precious you are, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Amen.
Together. Jesus said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." To write, "In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" As we partake of this cup in a few moments' time, we proclaim the Lord's death. We show, we announce, we declare what he has done for us in the shedding of his blood upon that cross for the forgiveness of our sins. This is why we celebrate this together, to remember and to proclaim, having examined ourselves. James will give thanks for the cup.
Our loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning, Lord, and as we take part in this communion service, Lord, we simply want to say two words. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the outpouring of your blood, Lord, on that cross, Lord. Something that we can't comprehend any way close in our minds, the pain that you suffered for us, Lord. And yet, Lord, how do we repay you, Lord, that we continue to sin, Lord? But by your mercy, Lord, you forgive us, Lord, and we thank you for that, Lord. So as we partake of this cup, Lord, may it not be a mere symbol, May it not be mere something that we'll just do because we're here this morning, Lord, but may we truly think about what it means for us, that blood that was outpoured for us. Amen.
Amen. We'll retain the cup, we might drink together. Have you ever thought that this might be the last time you take communion? Because we are to do this until he comes. One day our Lord and Saviour will return and we won't need these elements anymore because our faith will be turned to sight. But until that day, we drink together proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. If you're able, please stand and let's sing our closing hymn for this morning's gathering together. 'Tis finished, the Messiah dies. Our gracious God, we thank you for the time we've been able to spend here together this morning. We thank you that your word has been proclaimed faithfully, and we ask that none would leave this place sad, that all would be right in the sight of a holy God through what Jesus Christ accomplished and completed and finished upon that cross. Father, bless us, we pray, throughout the remainder of this day. Be with us as we gather again this evening, and we ask for your presence and your peace to be amongst us in that time, we pray. We ask these things in and through the name of Jesus. Amen.